Welcome to the Valley Outdoors. Glad to have you guys with us. Got a lot of cool stuff we're going to be talking about today. Don, you're here.
I'm here.
We got the big man behind the counter.
Yeah.
He's rolling the sound up and down and
doing
making
sure
we're doing the right things. So that's a big deal. Lots of cool stuff coming up. We're going to talk with Rayla Locust. We're going to talk about some stuff for bait, live bait, that will help keep your live bait much better and some innovative things there and a whole lot more. So tell you what, stick around. It's going to be good. Ashkenam Resort on Ash River in northern Minnesota is a destination you're looking for. Ashkenam offers everything for the angler or family vacation with access to Lake Cabotogama, Namekin Lake, and the gateway to Voyageurs National Park. Thousands of acres of clean, refreshing water all available to you. This is your destination for your next fishing trip or family vacation. Check us out on thevalleyoutdoors.com. Do I need to say walleyes, northern pike, and crappies?
Does your family need a break from the daily routine?
Hello, I'm Dr. Spruce. If you or someone you know needs a healthy dose of nature, visit discovertheforest.org and trade in the big screen for the big blue sky by visiting a local park or forest near you.
Hiking, picnicking, swimming, orienteering, climbing, admiring wildlife, or inhaling fresh air may result in heightened creativity, feelings of joy, harmony, satisfaction, and a euphoria that can only be explained as oneness with the natural world. Whoa.
Good to see you, Don.
Yeah, it's good to be seen.
Lots of transitions going on in the weather in the last week.
Yeah, I remember last week we were talking about some of my buddies were down doing some perch fishing.
And mm-hmm.
They weren't where they were the previous week.
No, I don't.
They're moving around.
Fish have fins, you know.
They do.
Yikes.
And a tail. And they
do a good job.
Mm-hmm.
And baffling all of us when
that's half the fun is finding them.
It is. Once you find them.
Right.
Sometimes they just don't want to be found.
Makes for a long day if you don't ever find them.
It does. Well, it kind of plays into the story from this last weekend. I went out with a longtime friend of mine, Chris Gilman, friend of the show.
Yep.
Hall of Fame angler. He and I went out and decided to ply the waters of the Mississippi as they're getting skinnier and skinnier and skinnier, record lows.
Yeah.
And interestingly enough, I've got some friends that have been out, and they said, you need to get some minnows. And I thought, in all the years that I've been going on the river here, I can only remember probably 20 years ago that I went and actually bought fathead minnows. I haven't ever needed it. Crankbait fishing, no big deal. Dubuque rigs, plastic on the bottom, plastic on the top of the three-way. If you're not familiar with the Dubuque rig, by the way, I apologize. It's probably a 5/8 ounce jig that's on the bottom. It goes about a foot up to a three-way, and then about 36 inches back to either a twister tail, usually use an Aberdeen hook so that you can scoot it up on the plastic up on the hook a little further. That's all you need. Oh, no, they had to have a minnow. They're that finicky. I don't know if it's the water level or the flow, which is probably it. The level is the level, but flow made a big difference, and it was a struggle doing that. Another buddy was out. He vertical jigged earlier in the day. We didn't get out till 2, but he was doing some vertical jigging. And that worked, but you had to have minnow. It blew my mind how much different that, and my preconceived notion is, well, we don't need that. What do we need that for? But I had to be open-minded. I said, all right.
Do you know anybody like that?
Yeah, I do, Don. Strangely enough. We're up at Ashkenam, little story. We're at Ashkenam, and I'm willing to do whatever it takes. The previous year, we had to switch to a crawler harness. This year, I started with that crawler harness and a spinner. It worked with the crawlers, and then I I said, you know what, let's split up. One person used a minnow, one person used a crawler, tied up a different rig, and that was it. And then we were catching a bunch of fish, and really both. And right up to the point where my batteries went dead.
Right.
I didn't have the charging system wasn't correct on my new boat, so.
Well, except that excuse.
I ended up back trolling with my 300 V8, which worked quite well. Anyway, point was, but Don says, oh no, I don't need live bait. I'm going to use plastics. How did that work for you, Don?
Previous week, really well.
Yeah, but that's in Canada. There's a whole different lake, a whole different slew of things that go on. So that's one of those, that's odd. I never thought that would be a problem.
Yeah, well, sometimes you got to be open-minded, I guess.
You have to be all the time. Yeah. And that's one of the biggest things about fishing. You've got to make sure that you don't go into some place with a set thought process and try to make the fish want what you are giving them. The fish are going to tell you whether they want it or not. You just have to make sure you can cycle through the pieces and parts that are there to get that thing that they want. And there's nothing that's going to frustrate somebody more than saying, well, they have to bite. They're just not here. Or you see them,
you know,
and you
there.
Can't make them bite. So you've got to have the quiver full and be willing to use the different arrows that you've got.
The one thing that's, you know, interesting about fishing is the quiver has about 14,000 arrows in it. I mean, there's so many variables, and that's part of the art of
the
fishing
game.
Is to try to figure out.
But there's base.
I mean, there's the line makes a difference, hook makes a difference, weight makes a difference, bait makes a difference. Everything can.
But the simplified thing is that we can look at base tactic. You can run, okay, I know live bait's going to work. We're going to troll to find some fish. We're on some fish. At that point, I'm going to run a harness. And if they're biting the tail off, maybe that's not what they want. Then I'm going to say, all right, let's try maybe a different color. It doesn't matter. Okay, let's try a single hook with a minnow. And then you say, all right, maybe we need to try a bottom bouncer or a slip sinker. So the point really is it doesn't take long to switch, but the base model is, well, I'm not going to be doing a jig necessarily. That's not working. I'm not going to do this because we want to get the bait in the strike zone all the time. The wind is too strong. We can't put a jig down. We need to use something heavier. So it really conditions narrow up everything that you have to present. So Mother Nature narrows a lot of it up for you. The depth you're fishing. You can't fish an 1/8-ounce jig very easily in a windy day when it's 30 feet of water that we were fishing.
Or if there's current.
Or if there's current. The only way you can do that, you go to 1/4-ounce, you make it bigger, bigger jig, and you make sure you touch the bottom. So really it's forcing, the elements will force you and Mother Nature will force you to pick a section of those particular baits. And
I'll just have one key. I think the most important thing is if you know whether there are fish on the bottom or wherever, if they're suspended, you need to put your bait, whatever it is, in that strike zone. If you don't put it there, it's end of story.
Nope. It don't work. Tell you what, we're going to be right back. Talk to Raylo from Raylo Outdoors, Locust Outdoors, and stay tuned. It's going to be good. Welcome back, everybody, and we always encourage everyone to check us out on Facebook, and where else, Donald?
Yeah, thevalleyoutdoors.com.
And you did post those photos from the trip, didn't you?
I believe they are.
I haven't looked.
I have. I've got a meeting, I think, tomorrow, so.
Make sure?
Yeah.
And then you send me the other ones, and I'll make sure those get up on Facebook.
Sure.
And that'll be good. Speaking of the trip, we have one of our highly regarded guest guides that we brought on today.
That would be a boat host.
Boat host.
Yes.
Yep, exactly. Boat host. Raylo, are you there?
I'm here.
He and I were the Vexus drivers out there and hightailing it all over the place up at the adventure at Ashkenam Resort. Had a blast up there. Again, thank you for helping out at that event. It's been fun.
Yeah, it's been a good time. He's the guy with the Lamborghini.
Yeah. Yeah. 400 horsepower worth. I only had the 300, but I have a smaller boat, so it's okay.
Yeah.
I don't mind. I don't mind if I don't burn all the fuel. It's not a big deal. Yeah. Not a big deal. But what people don't know, Raylo is also the owner of the Baitmaster bait company, bait tanks and accessory things, etc. And the way back when, I don't remember, how long ago did we meet? That was a better boat motor combo, getting your boat set up, I think is what it was. Wasn't it, Raylo?
I believe so, yeah.
He's a go-fast guy. He knew I had one of the fastest Rangers. So he's like, all right, you got to spill the beans. How do you do this? What do you got going? And then from there, he went on custom props and everything else. But pretty fun. And then I was brought into the loop on what the Baitmaster system was and some of the cool stuff you got going with it. You just added something. We'll get into the Baitmaster tanks in a little bit, but there's some really cool things that I think are important. It kind of fits with today's topic. We were earlier talking about live bait and, you know, the need to have minnows at that event up at Cab. And the just this weekend down here, we needed to have minnows as well, and I never thought would ever have to do that. And unfortunately, it's one of those things where, hey, I'd love to keep them for a week because I'm going to go back out, but doggone it, that doesn't work very well. And you got something that's going to help out with that, and it's a pretty cool little package. So whether you're wintering, you know, you're using some live bait for your ice fishing, or late season fishing, you got some cool stuff for that.
We do. We have a product called Bait Buddies that it's a blister pack that drops into your minnow tank, and it oxygenates. There's two tabs in there, and one is a better bait tablet, which turns your water blue and makes your fish very happy.
Oh, we like happy. We like happy
fish,
bait.
Happy bait, yeah.
And then happy fisherman is generally the next thing. And, you know, so sometimes people don't happen to have the high-end tanks, like I've got the high-end bucket with an aerator and everything else. That still is going to help with it, because I know, you know, in the tournament side of it, we've done that for fish in general. It kind of calms the fish down. In this particular case, it just helps the fish process oxygen better. And it's kind of a neat deal that whether or not you have that bucket or not, it's going to work.
Raylo, is this something that you put in your bait well or the live well?
You drop it right in your minnow bucket. It lasts for up to 8 hours.
Okay. And what happens after 8 hours? I mean, can you put another one in? Does that help?
Yeah, it just becomes inert after 8 hours. Then you just throw the little tablets out.
And it oxygenates the water.
Yes, sir.
Perfect. Wow. Well, you know, and those kinds of, there's been something like that, but it hasn't been multi-approach. So it's been one side of it trying to aerate. It hasn't had that much talk about it. And with in light of what people do now, you're trying to get the fish the bait to survive, because you don't want to have to throw it away, Don. That's one of the things we were talking about off air.
Right.
You know, with bait and everything else, then you got to throw it in a bag and you got to throw it away. Well, in this particular case, you don't have to enter any external water into it. You keep it in a separate tank. You have not introduced any water from the environment to it. You're not using any water to recirculate. So you can actually keep your minnows alive much longer and keep them, which is a cool thing. So what's the thought? How many tablets comes in a package?
There's two a package, two blister packs.
And those, and you can find those at Raylo or Locus Outdoors?
Yes, they're on our website, you bet.
The key, I think, Don, is that you can extend the life of the bait and
keep it fresh all day.
Time. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's a key thing.
Most people don't spend 8 hours on the water except for you guys. So you probably have to take two packs.
No. No. I just...
You know, something happens at 4 o'clock Raylo, every day and my bell rings, so...
Raylo and I like to go out till it's 5 or so o'clock and then come in and, you know, make a day of the fishing. You know, Raylo, does 4 o'clock seem to be a little early to quit to you?
It sure does, you know. We've kind of broke the rules there. We fished a little late and got scolded.
Yeah, we fished till 5:30 or 6 o'clock maybe, and we interfered with other people's happy hour. But the people we had out weren't disappointed.
No, they wait till dinner's on the table, and then they come in.
Is there an issue with that?
Yeah.
Sometimes happy hour is overrated. That's one of the stupid parts about it. So, got the tablets. I think the other element within the stuff that you do, Raylo, is as unique as it can be. And everybody walks into a bait shop, Don, you see these big tanks sitting there. There's a row and row and row and row. They constantly have water coming into them, and they, whatever. Well, Raylo, you got the coolest doggone setup ever. And this truly gives people the ability to keep live bait at their house, so they don't necessarily have to keep going to the bait shop and getting it, or however you legally get bait. I'm not going to go into that, but if you decide you can legally go catch, like say it's some creek chubs or whatever, and it's legal to do so, this is one way you can keep these things alive indefinitely. Fill us in. People are going to love this.
Yeah, it has no trouble selling itself. The tanks are, we're in practically every state in the U.S. now. It just keeps growing. It's an amazing tank.
So explain what really is encompassed. What's all in the tank? I mean, what all is, it's like a self-contained unit. What does it give people? I mean, it obviously gives them the ability to not have to do much. But fill us in, how does that work?
Well, it has a chiller, and it keeps the water at a given temperature, generally around 50 degrees. It lowers the metabolism of the bait, and they require less oxygen at that point. It also has an aeration system where we're putting air in the water, and it has a UV light, which kills bacteria that get waterborne.
Which is really cool. That's really cool, because there's the archaic tanks out there I know do not have those kinds of things involved with it. So, okay, what else?
It also has a biological filter system, which utilizes a bacteria that lives off of ammonia. And fish produce lots of ammonia, and that's what generally kills minnows when they're in a minnow tank for too long. This actually eats itself up.
Which, when you combine it, provides the perfect environment to keep live bait.
Absolutely.
So, what you offer a tank that you can literally have at your home? Is it? I mean, obviously, it's going to be a smaller tank. A bait shop's got 20 feet of them.
Yeah, we make four different sizes: singles, twins, triples, and quads.
And a single, what? I mean, how many gallon is that?
35
gallons. So I think that gives people an idea what size this is. So, I mean, can you keep them in the garage? I suppose it'd have to be a heated garage.
You know, if the garage is somewhat heated, I think you'd be fine.
Sure.
Well, and one of the things that I think is difficult, too, is, and we always worry about it, is trying to make sure you have fresh water. This really allows you to run the system without necessarily having to have a lot of fresh water, right?
Right, yeah. It uses the same water over and over again.
Interesting.
Which
there's also a particulate filter in line that catches the fish poop, and that gets cleaned on a regular basis.
But so it's self-cleaning.
Yeah,
the most part. Yeah.
You just pull the filter and get that cleaned out and put it back in. So,
and the filters are reusable for a while until they start getting bad.
Sure.
So if you're looking for a Christmas gift for yourself this coming season for next year. You really don't, because that's one of those things they don't wear out. I mean, really.
I mean that's a good point. Forever. Your wife is probably not going to pick this up for you.
Well, you never know. Honey, look what I bought you for Christmas, like a bowling ball. Look what I bought you, a bowling. Look what I bought you is a live bait. Then we don't have to spend as much on bait, honey.
Yes.
It's a cost savings thing. Well, we're going to have the link on our website. So it's going to be Locus Outdoors and Baitmaster, and people can log on to our website and get to your site. And if they want to look that up, check it out. It's going to be Locus Outdoors and Baitmaster Plus, and they can definitely put that together. And, of course, as always, appreciate you coming on with us, Raylo. It's awesome. And
you bet.
We'll be spending time in the boat sometime soon, I suspect. Looking forward to that, too.
Yeah, good talking to you, Raylo.
All right, you guys take care.
Thanks, buddy.
Bye.
And we'll be back with more Valley Outdoors.
Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference.
For the angler that has everything, or just thinks everything, grace your palm with the feel of a custom fishing rod made to your specs from Patriot Custom Rods. It will soon become a cherished tool in your hand, providing the sensitivity and feel you have long dreamed of. Patriot Custom Rods are specially designed to your species of fishing, rod weight, colors, grip type, and length. Treat yourself or someone else to a Patriot Custom Rod. Find us on thevalleyoutdoors.com.
It's always fun to have people that you've spent time in the boat with on the show.
Yes. Raylo's quite a character, actually. He's I was joking at the beginning, and he runs around with a Lamborghini, but he's obviously got the fastest boat on the water.
Oh.
When I'm there, anyway.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it's not a cigar boat. This is a...
No, it's...
This is a top-of-the-line fishing rig. And
22-foot Vexus with a 400 Merc on it.
And... He likes to throw that rooster tail up there once in a while. So
oh, he does.
You can
see him coming.
You can see him coming from about 2 miles away. Oh, here comes Raylo.
And, of course, he knows that that's not the most efficient, but he thinks it looks cool.
Yeah, I'm just...
it goes, though.
Throwing dollar bills in the air, you know.
Hey, that's...
He has fun with it.
Yeah, he does.
It's a beautiful boat.
It is. It is an amazing boat. Well, and it fishes fantastic as well. You know, it's one of those... Where you look at a boat that size and you're thinking, yeah, no. Oh, yeah, it works.
Oh, yeah.
It works well. And it gets you to and from, and when it's a little bumpy, very comfortable.
He's got more tackle in that thing than Shields does.
You make a bigger boat, you get more tackle to put in it, baby.
I mean, and it all hides, too. That's what's amazing.
There's nothing out. It's all,
no, it's all
under deck. Under deck. Wanted to jump in a story in the short little time we have left that – I think it is truly a growing issue across all of North America right now, and that is the coyote population and running into the residents that are not coyotes, and meaning just you and me and families, etc., playing in the backyard. Kind of scary. In this particular case, a Massachusetts dog walker was surrounded by a pack of coyotes. A full pack, Don. Recently, this dog walker had to call on law enforcement to help after they were surrounded by 9 coyotes. This was this October. And thankfully, the coyotes appear to be scared off by the arrival of the cruisers and the strobe lights. They escorted the dog walker and the dog back to the residence without any incident. Similar unexpected coyote encounters have occurred throughout America in recent years, including state of Vermont. Of course, it's happened in California. California, one wandered into somebody's home that came through a doggy door.
Oh, sure.
That's not my kind of doggy.
No, and I think there's problems with raccoons doing that, too.
Yep. Typically, dogs don't travel in coyotes don't travel large groups, but a chance happening, and it's increasing as we go through with environmental pressures and what's going on. Rhode Island had the same thing. Fall is coyote dispersal seasons when sighting and encounters tend to be on the rise. This is the time when last year's pups start leaving the pack to strike out on their own. It's also a time when you're likely to see them moving around in groups rather than alone or in pairs because the pups will still kind of hang together. Notes important, obviously, are going to be how do you keep your dog safe because they don't have a problem going after dogs.
Right.
Stop walking if you see a coyote in the distance. Put your dog on a leash immediately and have them sit and have them make noise or bark or whatever. You make sure you make some noise to make sure you scare those away. And it's one of those things where you look at it. When a dog runs, that's a key driving force for the coyote to chase. and sure. they will run and chase it.
Yeah.
Making loud noise, that's a really important thing. Be as big as possible, meaning wave your arms above your head, throw stones, use a hose, squirt gun with water and vinegar, anything that smells bad, that will do it. A can with something in it, like a metal, you know, pennies or whatever.
Oh, sure.
If you can put something
just to make
in.
Noise.
Yep. Anything you can that you can put in to make noise, and that's important. And really, not trying to get them to come in closer, but to keep them scared and keep them away. Attacks are rare, and they've analyzed the data from 1960 to 2006. There's 142 reported coyote attacks that resulted in 159 victims. The attacks were broken into predatory 37%, unknown 24%, 22% investigative, rabid 7%, 6% pet-related, and defensive 4%. So, and pets and young kids have been targeted. I've seen many YouTube videos where they've got a camera on the back yard, and you end up having a situation where there's a small child and there's a coyote scoping out the small child.
Yeah.
And that's scary. So be aware. It's going on out there. Yeah,
they're getting to be a nuisance, you know, and I think it's time we maybe get a coyote expert on and talk to him about hunting them maybe this winter.
That'd be awesome. Speaking of awesome, we're already done, Don. End of the show. Appreciate all you guys coming on here. Don, Eric, myself, we're out.